have Dan Rome, who is the founder and president of Digital Rome, Inc., a management consulting firm that helps business executives solve complex problems through visual thinking. He has brought his unique approach to clients such as Google, eBay, General Electric, Walmart, Wells Fargo Bank, the U.S. Navy, HBO, News Corporation, and Sun Microsoft Systems, along with many others. He lectures around the country for clients at business conferences, and he lives in San Francisco, California. Thank you very much for being here with us today, Dan.
And thank you, Annika. My pleasure.
Now, you are the author of the book, The Back of the Napkin, Solving Problems and Selling Ideas with Pictures. What prompted you to write this book?
Well, you know, Annika, it's funny. I'm one of those people who has just always drawn. In fact, some of my earliest memories are of drawing pictures. And it's funny because when I first started out in my first job in my career was as a graphic designer, and it made sense that I drew because everyone in graphic design draws. Mm-hmm. But then as I moved into management consulting and managing my own businesses, I realized that by being the person in the room who drew, that made me pretty weird because almost nobody in business really draws. And I always thought it was a real shame because I noticed that every time I was in a meeting and would pull out a piece of paper and a pen and start sketching something out or go to the whiteboard and start sketching out an idea, it was almost as if some kind of magic would happen in the room. I mean, people would pay this extraordinary amount of attention to what I was saying and then would participate in the development of the idea in a really interesting way. And I thought, you know, it's a shame that more people in business don't do this because they're really missing an extraordinarily powerful communications tool. And that's when I decided to go ahead and write the book.
Well, that sounds great. So what problems can be solved with pictures?
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding a little bit facetious, I think any problem can be made more clear, if not outright solved, through the use of a picture. And, of course, we're focused here on business, so let's talk about business problems. But, I mean, quite literally, if you think about something that might be a business strategy problem, you know, where are we going with our company, all the way down through something that might be more of a project management or a resource allocation challenge, such as, you know, we're working on this project, but we've got a limited amount of people and money and a limited amount of time. How are we going to finish it? Mm-hmm. And every kind of challenge in between, all of them, and I really mean this, all of them can really be made much more clear through the use of these very simple pictures. And in many cases, it's the act of making the simple picture that will help you immediately begin to see what the solution might be.
That's very interesting. So what exactly, what kind of pictures are you talking about here?
Oh, well, we're talking about really, really, really crude, simple pictures. I mean, if you can draw a box or a circle or a stick figure or an arrow, that's it. If you can draw those things, you can draw everything that we're talking about. And it's interesting because I like to make a distinction right here. Often I'll hear back from people, they'll say, Dan, you know, this sounds great, but I can't draw. I'm not a visual thinker. I can't do this. And I'll say to them, a part of it is just the way we think about it. Don't worry about your drawings as being great artistic renderings. That's not what we're after. We just need the simplest, most basic little drawing that you can create that simply represents what you see in your own mind and conveys that then to somebody else. So really, really simple little pictures, which I believe anybody can draw.
I heard a story the other day that emphasizes your premise in your book. There was a student that was in the classroom, and she was doing very bad in school, and she was having problems learning and processing. And the teacher, she sat beside her during a lecture, and she started to draw pictures about the history lesson. And she would draw, I can't remember whether it was a happy face or a stick figure or what, but somebody with a crown on for the King of England and then a map of America over to the left. And she, the girl's like, what are you doing? And the teacher said, I'm taking notes. She said, well, can I do that? And she said, sure. And so when she started implementing taking notes in the form of pictures, she went from one of the worst students in the class to having some of the best grades in the class.
You know, Annika, I have not heard that specific story, but I'm definitely going to ask you where you found it because I want to cite it. It's magnificent. At the same time, for me, someone who's been doing this for a long time, it's not surprising in the slightest. I mean, the fact is, from a neurological and a cognitive perspective, many, many scientists and everybody in education now recognizes the fact that as people, we all have different ways of processing information and learning information. And traditionally in education, things really have been focused on the verbal, reading and writing, which is tremendous. I have nothing against that at all. I mean, that's absolutely critical and fundamental. Uh-huh. But what has been lacking is recognition that there are many people who do learn more powerfully through the use of pictures. There's a whole swath of the public who really processes information in a visual way, and it's those people who really start out being exceptionally good at this. But what's really remarkable is when you think about and pay attention to what the visual people are doing, that there's a lot of things that we can learn, people who are not visual, from them to make our own ability to learn things a whole lot easier and are more likely for us to remember things and to make ideas a lot stickier, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's different learning styles, and people learn, a lot of people learn visually more so than auditorily. I learn good auditorily, so that's good for me to be on radio. I'd much rather listen than read. The use of pictures and learning, you know, you can learn visually, auditory, or kinesthetically with touch. And I think that we just kind of get into one system in school and, you know, read and write and study in that way only. What would you suggest to people who have a visual learning style? How can they implement that in the way that they learn?
Well, I think the most important thing is just to go ahead and do it and take advantage of it. If you are someone who finds that you have a preference or an ability to learn or to process information through pictures, certainly don't let anybody stop you. Mm-hmm. And I like your story very much of the teacher who not only encouraged the student but actually showed the student how to do it. I think that's a remarkable story. And I have, I have two daughters. They're both young. One is just about to go into kindergarten. One's in second grade. And I spend a lot of time in their classes and a lot of time with them and their friends. And it really is fascinating to realize how different students approach education in different ways, almost regardless of how they're being specifically taught by the teacher. So I would simply encourage people who have a bent towards being really visual to go ahead and run with it and don't let anybody stop you. Mm-hmm. And then for people who may not feel as confident about their visual abilities, to go ahead and practice some of the very simple tools and rules that I talk about in my book. Because what interestingly happens is that even people who do not feel that they are innately good visual thinkers, is they're kind of fooling themselves. Because the fact is, by virtue of the fact that we're human, we are profoundly visual creatures right from the beginning. And, you know, something like 75% of the neurons that are in our brains that are processing sensory information are processing vision, which kind of tells us two things. Number one, it tells us that vision is really complicated. And number two, it tells us how important vision is to us as creatures, you know, living on this planet, to try to figure out how the world around us works and figure out how to respond and essentially figure out how to solve problems. Well, Annika, you might remember that I said a little bit earlier, and I wasn't being entirely facetious, that any problem can be resolved or clarified through the use of a picture. And I mean that literally from a neurological perspective. We as people are primarily visual creatures. You know, something like 75% of the neurons that are in our brains that are processing sensory information are processing vision. So it's really something that we can all take advantage of. Even people who say, I'm not good at drawing or I'm not good at solving problems with pictures, we really are. And it just takes a little bit of practice in order to build up some confidence to recognize that we really can do this.
How would you explain the value of pictures to the left brain, word-oriented person?
Okay, well, assuming everybody kind of understands the notion of the left brain, right brain split, the idea being, of course, that the left brain, the left hemisphere of our neocortex, is really where we do most of our analytical and our verbal processing. And then on the right side of our neocortex, the right hemisphere, is where we do much more of the sort of the creative and synthetic processing. What's really fascinating about drawing pictures is that that occupies both hemispheres of our brain. When we're processing visual information, whether that means we're looking at a scene in front of us or we're actually creating a picture to represent that scene or what we see in our mind's eye, we're activating both sides of our brain, both the analytic and the synthetic side, in a way that would not normally happen if we were just talking or if we were just writing. So for people who might consider themselves really good analytic thinkers or people who maybe say, you know, I'm not a visual person, there's real power in being able to quickly sketch out a very simple idea at the same time that we're talking about it. And that's when the magic really happens, is when you combine all of the verbal processing that we're really good at through our talking and simultaneously with the creation of a simple picture that we're explaining as we draw it. That's when we literally get our brain firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. And not only do we start to have breakthrough ideas, but the really amazing thing is that the audiences that we're talking to or sharing our ideas with, all of a sudden their brains are going to be really happy because their brains are getting fed information in the way that they most want to process it. So verbal in conjunction with visual. And it's really important not, you know, we're good at the verbal side, and I'm really strongly advocating that if we can get a little bit better at the visual side, we will all become better problem solvers and creative thinkers.
That's really interesting. I saw your interview with ABC News, and you were talking briefly about PowerPoint. Is there a difference between a PowerPoint presentation in a board meeting versus drawing on a whiteboard?
No, there are huge differences. And now, I you know, full disclosure, Microsoft is a client of mine, and I do a lot of work with them. Having said that, I do believe that many, many times we should just take our PowerPoint and throw it away. You know, PowerPoint is just a tool, and like any other tool, you know, we don't blame a hammer if the building isn't well built. You know, we can't blame PowerPoint if our communications are poor. But what really is the critical difference is that when you're in a setting where you're trying to share ideas with someone or you're trying to convince someone of a particular idea, a fixed presentation, a pre-built presentation, whether it's in PowerPoint or any other type of software, isn't going to get you anywhere nearly as far as drawing a simple picture live in front of that audience. Now, just to be clear, I don't intend this to scare anybody and say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to lose my favorite tools that I use in making presentations. What I really advocate for people who want to explore this possibility is if you're going to be giving a presentation or making a sales pitch or even just having a meeting with your team, go ahead and build your PowerPoint as you normally would and get all your ideas in there and think through what you want to say. But then a couple of days or a day before you're going to do your actual meeting, look through your PowerPoint and note down the two or three things that you really most want people in the meeting to remember. And then come up with a very simple way to draw out those ideas, those two or three important things. Then put the PowerPoint away. And when it's time to go into the meeting, go ahead and say, you know, to the people, I want to try to do something a little bit differently today. I'm not going to show you a fixed PowerPoint. I'm going to actually draw out what I'm thinking about. And then step to the whiteboard or take out your piece of paper and start very simply building your picture just with some circles and squares, explaining as you go. Now, the real difference here and why this is such a powerful tool, especially in comparison to PowerPoint, is that when an audience sees a presentation which is already finished and it looks very polished, the normal reaction for the audience is to believe that the ideas that they're seeing are already complete, and it becomes very difficult for the audience to feel like they're really participating or have much input in the ideas that are being developed. Now, if you go through this very simple drawing process at the same time that you're presenting the same idea, your audience will be much more willing to engage, will probably remember much more of what it is that you have to say, and most importantly, will really feel like they are a part of the process as their brains actually go through the cycles of really getting what you're showing them.
That's very interesting. Interaction. And I remember I did a training session a couple different times about the three ways people learn. It's personality, interaction, and experience. So the acronym of that is PIE. So I fed him PIE to help him remember. And, you know, interaction is a huge way that people learn and people process and people can generate ideas. And so that's a really, really great example of using a whiteboard versus a PowerPoint presentation.